Hello and welcome to the third episode of the Collective Sci-Fi Podcast. I'm your host, the author Michael Campling, known to friends as Mikey.
This is the Collective Sci-Fi Podcast. Prepare to be absorbed.
So in our Collective Sci-Fi serial, we are on to chapter 4 of my book Wall, which is part of the Colony B series. And this is very much a serialized podcast, so I do recommend you go back to the first episode and begin with chapter 1. Chapter 4, The Hill. Siobhan lay awake on her narrow bed, staring up at the ceiling. She'd been upstairs for over an hour, but she hadn't climbed under the blankets, hadn't even undressed. She closed her eyes and heaved a sigh. What the hell was wrong with her dad? Why did he have to be such a tight ass all the time? Plenty of people snuck off to hang out on the hillside in the evenings. What else was there to do anyhow? She rolled on her side and tried to get comfortable. And she heard something. She opened her eyes. There it was again, a low whistle, 5 notes from her favourite song. Milo! Siobhan sat up and ran her hands through her hair, smoothing it flat, flicking her fringe away from her eyes. She probably looked a complete mess, but that didn't matter. Not to Milo. Not after the way he'd spoken to her when they'd snatched a moment alone away from the others. She knelt on her bed and pushed aside the improvised blind so she could press her face to the tiny window. Yes, Milo was down there, waving his arm, his face pale in the starlight. She grinned and waved back. Then, moving carefully, she crossed her room and opened the door. The hinges creaked a little and she hesitated, but no one stirred. They'd all be fast asleep by now. She crept down the stairs, keeping to the edge where the metal treads met the wall. Within seconds, she was opening the outer door and peering out into the night. "Shiv," Milo hissed, "over here." Milo was crouching next to the low wall Siobhan's mom and dad had built around the creeper patch in the front yard. She slipped out, propping the door open with a stone, then she crossed the front yard. As she approached, Milo stood and beckoned her forward. "Come on, Shiv, let's take a walk." "Okay, but not for long," she whispered. "I'm in enough trouble as it is." Milo gave her a grin. "Like you care." "All right, smartass, where are we going?" Milo held out his arms. "Earth." "Very funny." "I'm serious, Shiv." Milo extended his hand toward her. "Walk with me. I've got something to tell you." Siobhan hung back for a moment, but she took his hand. "You're cold." "I hadn't noticed." Milo tugged her hand, pulling her closer. "I'm on fire when I'm around you." "Shut up." She gave him a playful punch on the shoulder. "You're such a jerk, Milo. Just talk normal, all right? I'm not impressed with your dumb lines. I'm not Emma." "Emma? What's she got to do with anything?" Siobhan rolled her eyes. "Yeah, right, like you don't know." "Listen, Siobhan, I didn't come over here to talk about Emma or anybody else. I'm not interested in her. I came to talk to you. And it's important." "Okay, let's walk." She dropped Milo's hand and she strode forward, heading away from her house. "Hold up." Milo hurried after her, then walked at her side, matching her pace. When they'd left the scattered houses behind them, Milo said, "Did you hear about the lights?" "Not really. My mum mentioned it, but she was holding something back and I couldn't exactly go and ask my dad." "Well, I've heard plenty. My dad's a big friend of Derek. They met up in our house. They couldn't stop talking about it, about what it might mean." "Derek Klein is a drunk and a jerk. Everybody knows that." "That's just what your dad says. Derek is on the council." Siobhan stopped walking. "Don't you dare talk to me like that. I don't get my opinions from anybody and definitely not from my dad." Milo held up his hands, his fingers spread wide. "Sorry, Shiv, I wasn't thinking. I'm just excited. I I've got so much to tell you. Siobhan folded her arms across her chest. All right, talk. Don't be like that. This is me, Milo. I'm not going to put on an act for you. If you have something to say, spit it out. I'm waiting. Okay, okay. Milo took a breath. Your dad thinks he's the only one who saw the lights properly, but Finn was out there with him and he saw plenty. Finn? That jerk dragged us back like we were lost dogs or something. That's not... Milo ran a hand through his hair. Listen a second. Finn saw a whole bunch of lights. He reckons there are 5 or 6 vehicles out there. So what? Don't you get it, Shiv? This is a group. Organised. They must be from Earth and they must have a way to get back home. That's a leap, even for you. Milo shook his head. Come on, hear me out. We can't miss this opportunity. What opportunity? Siobhan shifted her weight from one foot to the other. What are you talking about? We go down there. We take a look for ourselves. Maybe we talk to these people. Are you out of your goddamn mind? They might not even be human. Anything could happen. Yeah, but if we sit tight and do what we're told, I'll tell you exactly what will happen. Nothing. Not today, not tomorrow, and not next month or next year. Siobhan flapped her hands toward him. Keep your voice down, someone will hear. Okay. Milo stepped close to her. I don't just want to go down and look. I want to go over the wall, and I want you to come with me. Over the... She shook her head. Milo, we can't. It's far too dangerous. Even if we go near it, we'll get burned. Not if we suit up. Siobhan stared at him. I'm serious, Milo went on. I know where we can get some EVA suits, and I know how to use them. We both do. Where the hell would you get suits? They're all locked up. I have a friend who'll help us out, all right? Milo looked her in the eye. I can take a couple suits whenever I want. Listen, Milo, I'm just as sick of this place as you, but you can't do this. You'll get into trouble, or worse, you'll get yourself killed. Give me some credit. I'll be careful. And it's not like I'm talking about running away. Hell, if we do this right, no one will even know we're gone. Siobhan hesitated. So, what are you suggesting? Milo smiled. I borrow the suits and meet you in 10 minutes. We set off straight away before it gets light and we walk down to the wall. Then, so long as it's safe, we head over the wall so these people can see us. All we have to do is attract their attention. Once they see there are people shipwrecked on this miserable planet, they'll organise a rescue. They must have a ship somewhere, right? And they're bound to help us. They'll have to. I don't know. It's not much of a plan. It's better than what the council has cooked up. They're hoping these people will just pass us by and leave us alone. Where's the sense in that? They're being cautious, Siobhan said. Your plan is dumb. It's too risky. Sometimes you have to take a risk, Shiv. But keep your eyes on the prize. This could get us out of here. It could get us home, our real home, Earth. And if it's not safe, if these people are dangerous? Milo shrugged. We stay out of sight, then we turn around and head back here. You promise? We'd come straight back? Of course. I'd never let anything hurt you. Siobhan bit her lower lip. And who would go? That's the best part, Milo said. He moved even closer to her. His eyes locked on hers. It'll be just you and me. We'll be alone, away from this place for a while. It could be fun, couldn't it? I guess. You'll come? Siobhan smiled. All right, but not for long. Just to take a look, all right? I'm not doing anything stupid. Milo punched the air. Yes! I'll get the suits. I'll see you in 10 minutes. Maybe sooner. Be ready. This is going to be amazing. Okay, but you'd better not stand me up. She pointed at his chest. If you leave me waiting out here, I'll kick your ass. Don't worry. Milo took a step back. I'm going. I'll see you in 10. He flashed her a smile, then turned and ran into the night. Siobhan watched him go. Crazy, she thought. This whole thing is crazy. But a thrill of excitement ran through her veins. She hugged herself against the chill air. Then she turned and headed back toward her house. She'd need to shut the door before she set off, or everyone would know she'd gone, and she'd have to be especially careful not to make a noise. She couldn't let anyone spoil her fun. Just this once, she was going to do something for herself. Chapter 5. The Hill. It was still dark when Callum crept downstairs, but already his dad was busy at the table, packing a rucksack. Callum hesitated at the bottom of the stairs. Should he call out? His dad never liked to be disturbed at the best of times, and today he was so absorbed in what he was doing that he hadn't even heard Callum come down the stairs. But maybe he could use some help. Dad! Connor stopped packing and smiled. Hey, what are you doing up so early? I just woke up, Callum shrugged. I've got to go and see to the crow soon anyway. Connor glanced at the dark window. No, I reckon you got plenty of time before sunrise. Why don't you give me a hand? Callum grinned and went to his father's side. You know, you shouldn't say sunrise, Dad. It's not the sun. Connor grunted and went back to packing his bag. You're taking a lot of stuff, Callum said. Do you really need that much? Thought you were just going to keep watch. Yeah, but we might be a while and we'll have to go right down to the wall. Callum froze. Seriously? I know what you're thinking, but don't worry. We'll wear full EVA suits. We won't take any chances. Wouldn't you be better off on the high ground? Callum asked. You could see, Father. We have people up on the lookout, same as always, but someone has to go down and see what's really going on out there. We have to get as close as we can. Dad, you won't go over the wall, will you? Connor hesitated. Not if I can help it, son. That's the last thing I want to do. He smiled. I'm really just keeping an eye on things, all right? A lot of standing around, that's all. Packing plenty of supplies in case I'm out all day. I might need a lot of water, extra clothes, who knows? Callum nodded, but he couldn't return his father's smile. Hey, Connor said, gesturing across the table to a plate covered with a cloth. Could you put that food in a lunchbox for me? I'll eat breakfast later. Sure, Callum said, and Connor resumed his packing, stuffing the pockets of his rucksack with labelled glass bottles and anonymous bundles of cloth. Callum took an aluminium lunchbox from the shelf and uncovered the plate. His mum must have held some food back from the party because the plate was practically full. Callum's mouth watered. Do you need to take all of this? Callum tried to keep his voice neutral, but he didn't quite manage it. His dad threw him a look. You hungry? Take some. Just throw me in a couple of chunks of root bread and a few long peas or something. I don't need the meat. You have it. But save some for your mother and sister, all right? You can have meat too, Dad. There's enough to go around. Fine, Connor said, but he didn't look up. Connor packed the food and sealed the lunchbox. Do you want this in your rucksack? Yes. His dad was preoccupied, bending down to adjust something on his belt. And when he stood straight, Callum gasped. Dad, you're taking a gun? Connor nodded, his lips pursed. Sonic pistol. Just a precaution. But you said you were only going to keep watch. We are, but we don't know who's out there and we don't know what might happen. He paused. It's best to be prepared. Callum hesitated, chewing his lower lip. Dad, there's no chance these new people might be from the other lander, is there? I'm afraid not, Cal. We've talked about this before. It's best to accept it. So maybe it could be some sort of rescue mission? They might have sent someone from Earth to find us. That would be great, wouldn't it? Connor shook his head slowly. I'm sorry, son, but it's not likely. They would have come straight up. I don't know, Callum said. Maybe they were worried. Maybe they wanted to wait until it was light and make sure they'd found the right people. I doubt it, Cal, but listen, whoever it is, they might just pass us by. We might never see them again. Oh. Callum's face fell. He stood in silence for a moment, thinking. If they wanted to, they could come and stay here. There's plenty of space on the hill.
Space we've got, Connor said. But food, shelter, fuel?
We could share, couldn't we?
Connor patted his son's shoulder. You're a good kid. But everyone isn't like us. Some people might want what we have, might even try to take it.
I guess.
There's one way to find out. I'll take a look and figure out what they're up to. We'll see what they look like and maybe we can talk. We'll take it from there. If they're friendly, there's no reason why we can't help each other out. That's supposing they're human. Callum grinned. If they've got 8 legs, tell them we're fresh out of new shoes. Connor laughed. There you go. I was wondering when we'd get one of your corny jokes. He reached out to ruffle his son's hair, but Callum ducked away. Dad, don't! All right. Connor fastened his rucksack and swung the straps over his shoulders. You be good today. Look after your mom, okay? And don't forget to see to the crows. He patted his knife in its sheath, his gun in its holster, and headed for the door. I never forget, Callum said.
I know. Anyway, I'll see you later and tell you all about it. I'll be back before sunset.
And then he was through the door and away. Bye, Callum called out. But perhaps his dad didn't hear him because there was no reply. The only sound was a faint vibration ringing in the bare metal walls. The end of chapter 5. Hope you're enjoying our little serial. I'll be back next week with another episode from Wall, which is part of the Colony Bee series. And I've been Mikey Campling. Thank you very much for listening. To make sure you don't miss any other episodes of the serial, please consider subscribing. And you can always find any other links and other useful material over on the site at thecollectivesci-fi.com, where you can also find snippets of sci-fi from other authors. I'm trying to encourage sci-fi authors to send me little snippets to post up, especially if they've got a new release or a book offer on. And there's a new newsletter you can sign up to where you can get notifications of those little snippets. So you'll have little sort of little snippets of sci-fi goodness to read in your email once a week if you sign up to that. It is early days, so there's not much on there at the time of recording, which is May 2020, but hopefully there will be lots more going forward. So once again, thank you very much for listening. I'm going to dive off into my infinite improbability generator, and who knows when I will come out of it on the other side. Thank you very much and goodbye.